Chapter 2. Dickie and Marge. Tom hated water. He had never traveled anywhere on it before. His parents had drowned in Boston Harbor, and Tom had always thought this had something to do with it. For as long as he could remember, he had been afraid of water. It gave him a sick, empty feeling to think that in less than a week, he would have water below him, miles deep, and he would have to look at it most of the time. Tom had told Bob Delancey that he was leaving in a week, but Bob did not seem very interested. He decided not to tell any of his other friends that he was leaving. He wrote to his aunt in Boston, explaining that he was going abroad, and it might be months or even years before he came back. He asked her not to worry and not to send any more checks. He left her with no address, so she would not be able to find him. It made him feel better. The checks were an insult when you considered how much money she might have sent him with her income. She liked to tell him that looking after him had cost her much more than his father had left in insurance. Maybe it had, but did she have to keep telling him? He could also forget about the time she had sent him to get an ice cream while she sat in her car with her friend. When he came back, she kept driving away. "Come on! Come on, you slow thing!" she had shouted. Then she had turned and said to her friend, "He's a sissy through and through, just like his father." On the morning of his sailing, Tom found a big basket of fruit in his cabin and a card that read, "Bon voyage, Tom. All our good wishes go with you. Emily and Herbert Greenleaf." Tom had never received a bon voyage basket before. To him, they had always been something that cost huge prices and were laughed at. Now, he found himself with tears in his eyes. He put his face down into his hands suddenly and began to cry. His mood on the voyage was calm and kindly, but he did not spend much time with other people. He wanted his time for thinking. But when people sat at his table on the ship, he spoke to them pleasantly and smiled. He wanted to show himself as a serious young man with a serious job ahead of him. He had his own private income and was not long out of Princeton, perhaps. He was starting a new life. Goodbye to all the second-rate people he had spent time with during the last 3 years in New York. This was a fresh start. Whatever happened with Dickie, he would try his best, and Mr. Greenleaf would know he had and respect him for it. A week later, he was in France. He passed through Paris quickly. He would come back here at some later time, he thought, and caught the sleeper train that would take him all the way to Rome. When he woke up the next morning, he was in Italy. He arrived in Naples late that afternoon and found a big hotel by the water. He had a difficult time ordering a fish dinner in a restaurant nearby because the waiter could not understand English. The next morning, he took a bus through Sorrento to the village of Mongibello. When it arrived, Tom jumped from the bus and pulled his suitcase down from the roof. There were houses above him on the mountain and houses below, their roofs red against the blue sea. he asked at the post office for Dickie's address, and an old man there tried to tell him in Italian and show with his hands where Dickie's house was. Tom then asked if he could leave his suitcase there, and the man seemed to understand. After asking a couple more people on the street, he finally came to a large house with two floors and a metal gate. Tom rang the bell outside the gate, and an Italian woman came out of the house. "Mr. Greenleaf?" said Tom, hopefully. The woman smiled and pointed down at the sea. Tom went into one of the little shops in the center of the village to buy some swimming shorts. But he could only find something black and yellow that was not much bigger than a G-string. He put it on, then walked down a narrow lane until he came to a beach where there were a couple of cafes and a restaurant with outside tables. Tom walked along the beach until he saw him, about 300 feet away on the sand. His skin was burned dark brown from the sun, but it was definitely Dickie. He was with Marge.
"Dickie Greenleaf?"
said Tom, who had taken off his shoes and was now walking quickly across the sand toward them. Dickie looked up, but Tom could see that he did not recognize him.
"Yes?"
"I'm Tom Ripley. I met you in the States several years ago. Remember? I think your father was going to write to you about me."
"Oh, yes," Dickie said. "This is Marge Sherwood. Marge, Tom, what was it?"
"Ripley. Nice to meet you," said Tom.
"Nice to meet you too," replied Marge with a smile.
"How long are you here for?" Dickie asked.
"I don't know yet," Tom said. "I just got here. I'll have to look the place over."
Dickie was watching him with some disapproval, Tom felt. His arms were folded, his brown feet planted in the hot sand as he said,
"I have to say, I don't really remember you from New York, but I can't remember much about America these days."
"Well, we're about to leave," said Marge, smiling. "Would you like to have lunch with us?"
"Yes, thank you. Thanks very much," replied Tom.
They made their way back up the hill, and 15 minutes later, Tom was sitting on Dickie's terrace with a gin and tonic in his hand. Marge was in the kitchen talking to the maid. Tom wondered if she lived here. The house was certainly big enough. It had Italian furniture, and there were two Picassos on the wall. They looked real. Marge came out onto the terrace with her gin and tonic.
"That's my house over there," she pointed. "The square white one with the dark roof. I've been living there about a year."
She was wearing a red swimsuit with a shirt over it. She was not bad looking, and she had a nice body, if you like the solid type. Tom did not himself. Dickie came out with a cocktail.
"How's my mother?" he asked.
"She seemed okay when I had dinner with your parents just before I left New York. I think your father was more worried a few weeks before. He's also worried because you won't come home."
"Herbert's always worried about something," said Dickie.
The maid brought out some food. Tom said nothing as Dickie and Marge discussed a restaurant in the village. He had nothing to offer the conversation, so he sat looking at Dickie's thick gold rings. One had a green stone, and the other had a small picture cut into it.
"What hotel are you staying at?"
Marge asked Tom finally, and passed him a cup of coffee. Tom smiled.
"I haven't found one yet. Which one do you suggest?"
"The Miramare's the best. Giorgio's is cheap, but..."
"It's got insects in the beds that will bite you," finished Dickie.
"You're in a good mood today, aren't you?" Marge said, throwing a lettuce leaf at him. "Then I'll try the Miramare," Tom said, standing up. "I must be going."
Neither of them encouraged him to stay. Dickie walked with him to the front gate, while Marge stayed sitting down. Tom wondered if they were sleeping together. Marge was in love with Dickie, Tom decided, but Dickie did not care about her.
"I'd like to see some of your paintings sometime," Tom said to Dickie.
"Fine. Well, I suppose we'll see you again if you're around."
"I enjoyed the lunch. Goodbye, Dickie."
"Goodbye."
The metal gate closed with a bang. Tom took a room at the Miramare. He threw his suitcase on the floor, lay on the bed, and thought about Dickie. Why should he want to come back to subways and taxis and a 9-to-5 job? It was not as fun as sitting on a beach all day and having long lunches and owning his own house with a nice maid to look after him. Tom suddenly felt jealous. The letter from Mr. Greenleaf had probably put Dickie against him. He should have just sat next to him at a cafe and pretended it was a chance meeting. Tom was angry with himself for being so heavy-handed and without humor today. Nothing he took really seriously ever succeeded. He had found that out years ago. "I'll let a few days go by," he decided. The first step was to make Dickie like him. He wanted that more than anything else in the world.